Thank you, choir. If you'll take out a Bible and turn with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. In Acts chapter 6, we're going to look at that in just a moment. Everybody likes great beginnings. You can probably think of several things that you were a part of or that you observed that had really fantastic starts. And everybody likes that. Things can really start off well, and it gets everybody excited, and everybody's involved, and whether it's a new program or a new church even or anything, a new part of our lives, when things start and they start well, we just love it. Everybody's excited at the beginning. You know, everybody gets cranked up and ready to go. And then time passes, and you know, we get used to things, don't we? We start to get used to things, and the edge starts to wear off, and the next thing you know, it's just normal, everything's going normal. And then things maybe even start to go a little bit badly or different, and we say, wow, remember when we first started this, how excited we were and how wonderful that was? I wish we could go back to the beginning and be that way again. You know, I wish you could start there. And so we tend to do that as people. We like to go back to when everything was really great. In the Bible, in churches do that all the time as well. I mean, we think about the great beginnings in the Bible. We think even about, I hear people in church talk often about, you know, we want to be like the church when Jesus was there, you know? When Jesus was walking and talking, how great would that have been to be like a disciple and you get to see Jesus and touch him and hear his voice and everything? Wow, that's great. You know, we don't get that. Well, and we hear people say, oh, what about the church, like the church in Acts chapter 2? Yeah, that's what our church, we want to be our church to be like that church in Acts chapter 2. They were so excited. Remember how people were in Acts chapter 2? Because after Jesus' ministry on the earth, in his physical fleshly form, he lived 33 years. We just celebrated his birth, and he taught, he healed, and he ministered to people, and then he was crucified on the cross, buried again, but he rose again. And you remember when the disciples were sitting there going, oh man, now Jesus is gone, what are we going to do? And then Jesus showed up and he said, hey, things are changing. Things are changing. I'm not going to be here in physical form anymore because I want you to be the body. And Jesus started the church. And in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, let me give you a little preview to what we're about to read, that it was the most awesome time in the church. People were sharing with one another. The poor were getting helped. Nobody was going hungry. Everybody was praying and reading the Word, and they were Bible study. They had great church services. In fact, they had at one time, it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, that they had the preaching service. Peter got up there and preached, and they were baptized, and 3,000 people in a day, one service, come forward. And wow, wouldn't it be great to go back, be that kind of church? Wait a minute. No. Things change. They're different. We should be wanting to be the church today, not the church 2,000 years ago. Things change, people grow, people change, society changes. Does church change? Does the gospel change? No, but we want to be a part of what God is doing today. Yeah, there was a great beginning. And in Acts chapter 2, it was awesome. It was something that people talk about and read about and think, wow, wasn't that a great beginning? But you know what? In Acts chapter 6, something changed. We're going to look at it. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. I want you to look at it because I want you to follow along today. This is really important as we look at this piece of the puzzle, because what we're going to find here today is every great beginning needs to begin again and again. And again, every great beginning needs to begin again and again and again and again. We need to continue to begin again. A fresh start. Now, you know, we're lucky because here we have a calendar. And you know what? We just celebrated 2 days ago, New Year's Eve. And it went from 2010 to 2011. You know, I mean, really, if you think about it, I chimed in at 12 o'clock and everybody started cheering, I said, well, it's tomorrow. Really? I mean, it's just another day, right? It just is the next day. But this particular time, we celebrate it. Well, the neat thing about that is it gives us an opportunity to have a fresh start. It reminds us that every day we need to begin again. If we're going to remain fresh, remain on the cutting edge for the Lord. Okay, now, let's look at Acts chapter 6, because here is this awesome church that everybody wants to be, and every happening church wants to be like the New Testament church, okay? And they had this great beginning. Everybody's sharing. Everybody's given to the poor, and nobody has any needs. They're just loving on each other. It's just great, all right? And then, here's what happens. In Acts chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 1. We're just going to read 7 verses today, and we're going to start in that first verse. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, you see that? It's still good. The number of disciples are increasing. People are joining the church. It's great. All right? In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against those of the Aramaic-speaking community because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now this proposal pleased the whole group, so they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. And they presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this day that as we come to this new year, that we don't just take everything for granted, that we don't just sit back on our laurels, but that, Lord, we challenge ourselves to begin again, to take up the challenges that you've set before us, to really pray about and think about how we can be more a part of your kingdom work here in this place. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So what's next? I mean, if you have this wonderful church with all this going on and everything's perfect in Acts chapter 2, which is not true, but that's what you hear people say today. We want to be a New Testament church. We want to be like the church in Acts chapter 2. It's just like this church. It's just like any church. It has problems. It wasn't perfect. But people say, it's going so well back then. So what is next? What's next is beginning again. It's beginning again. Now, if you have your blue sheet out, I want you to follow along, track along with me, because I believe that this passage of Scripture is so applicable to us today in ways that are just specifically going to speak to your heart and my heart even this morning. So let's track along with it. But the first thing that happens is, here it is, here's the situation, Acts chapter 6, the church is growing, things are going good. And then you know what? Somebody starts complaining, right? It starts with a challenge. It starts with a challenge, with a problem. Growing pains. It starts by we're getting bigger. All of a sudden, we got a problem. Well, let me describe the problem to you, because it's not really clear necessarily just in that one line in the Scripture. But there were two groups of Jews in the new church. They, the group that was Hebrew Jews, okay, and they were people who were traditional Hebrew. They'd been in the synagogue and all that, and they just became believers in Jesus, and they were that Jewish community. And then there were those who were Jewish who had already embraced the Greek culture. Okay, they had already embraced the Greek culture. They didn't practice the normal Hebrew practices, but they were Jewish, and they had become believers. And then there were those who were Greeks, not even Jews, who practiced the Greek culture and came into the church as well. Awesome! It's great! Except, you know, then it's like there's these traditional Jews, and then there's the contemporary. So you got the traditional service and the contemporary service. And they kind of fight amongst themselves, and it's kind of an us and them kind of thing. And the next thing you know, those who are the contemporary Jews, those who were Jews who embraced the Greek culture, some of them were getting treated like kind of the lame stepchild. And what arose is that there were some complaints that the widows who were of the Greek Jews weren't getting taken care of. They were being... So, of course, they said, well, go find a church that'll take care of you. No, they didn't say that. See, you got to look. You got to look in the Bible. They said, but that's what we would do today. You know, our contemporary, we'd say, hey, you don't like it, go find another church. There's plenty of churches. Go on. There's probably a church that has Jews who like the Greek culture, and you'll be more comfortable there. We're traditional Hebrew Jews here, so we'll just split, and everybody will be happy. And then you'll have First Baptist Church of the Apostles. And then you'll have First Baptist Church of the Grecian Apostles. And we'll just do a few lunches together every once in a while. No, that's not what they did. In fact, this problem, and I want you to see this, when there's a great beginning and when God wants to spur you on to begin again, there it starts with a challenge, with a problem, with things, because everybody experiences growing pains. And right here, even today, in our community, in Parkwood, in our church family here, we are growing. We are being blessed. And you know what that brings? Problems. And they're challenges. They're wonderful. An example would be, you know what? There's no place to park. We're running out of parking spaces. I came to church the other day and I couldn't find a place to park. Come earlier. No, that's not the answer. That would guarantee you a parking space. Come earlier. No, but you know what? We have to figure out how to handle that. We don't say, well, we're filled up, the parking lot's full, see you later. You know? But we look at it as a problem, don't we? And we look at it maybe even as a negative thing. What? We got a parking problem. How awesome is that? Now, what happened here in the scripture is a testimony and a witness to what needs to happen here at Parkwood even today. So this is so incredibly applicable to us today. I want you to hear this closely. So what happens is the disciples, they see this. There's a problem now. You know, problem in paradise. This is the best church ever. It's all so awesome. Now there's a problem. They go right to kingdom problem solving. And I like that. There's kingdom principles in problem solving within a church. And I want you to see that today. And it's very clearly lined out. How did they deal with it? Because I don't know. I'll go ahead and tell you the end of the story before it comes. But in verse 7 is the end of the story. Verse 1 to verse 7. What's in between is what I want us to see today. But how do you get from verse 1 to verse 7? Okay? How do you get to that new beginning again? Now look at this kingdom problem solving. The first thing that happens is they have a proper perspective. Okay? A problem is only a negative thing if that's the way you see it. The disciples didn't go, oh, man, those whiny Grecian widows. You know? Just don't worry about them. I mean, after all, they're just widows. They won't be around forever. What? They didn't say that. It was not a problem. They didn't see it as a problem. They said, hey, there's something we got to take care of. There is something we have to do about this. We want to make sure that this is a place where people can be involved and as a church family. And we're not sending them someplace else. We're not saying, oh, let's sit around and talk about how whiny and complaining this particular group is. This is, what are we going to do about this? It's a simple perspective. It's looking at the things from God's perspective. If you're going to grow, there's going to be pain. And if there's going to be pains and challenges ahead, you need to adjust and begin again. And not sit back. And so they do. And so they go with the kingdom principle. And then a perspective. And then the second thing is, we've got to know our limitations. Now, what would come across to some of us as we read this scripture quickly is that the disciples were pretty arrogant. You know, hey, folks, you know, we can't do it all. We can't preach the word, pray, do all this ministry, and serve tables. Everybody goes, well, la-di-da. You can't serve tables, you know? Everybody's got limitations. And we got to recognize what our limitations are. God doesn't expect anybody, whether it's the pastor, a Sunday school teacher, or anybody else, to do everything. That is not the design. In fact, God specifically made you so that you, your peace and happiness and joy is dependent on being with other people. So all of you who don't like to be with other people, I'm sorry. God made you that way. And you will be miserable until you get that across, until you figure out how to live with other people. Because God made it so we're totally dependent. You cannot experience God in a total way until you work with other people. And that means you got to know your limitations. You need other people. And the disciples recognize that. And that's important because that's a divine thing, not an arrogant thing. We can't do it all. We can't do it. We've gone from, we can say, oh, but the great beginning we had. Oh, just, you know, remember the days when there were only just a couple hundred people here at Parkwood? Everybody knew everybody's name, and everybody knew everybody personally and knew all everybody's dirty laundry and everything. It was just so great. Well, you know, now we have more than 400 people involved in Parkwood. We have more than that many families and a lot more challenges. And you know what? We can't do that all the same way. And there's no one person that can do it. I can't do that. We have to realize our limitations. So we get a good perspective. These aren't things that are negative. These are positive things. We got a parking problem. Amen. Oh, what are we going to do about it? Well, not everybody can park cars. Not everybody can paint the lines in the park. How are we going to figure this out? We need everybody involved. The next thing is, after you realize your limitations, is you got to put that legs to that. You got to get help and enlist other people. That's what they did. They said, hey, choose seven men from among you. Brothers, choose seven men from among you. We need help. Now, I do want you to know that you can see right here that it's not just anybody. They don't say, well, let's just get anybody. I mean, after all, come on, people. This is serving tables. Can't anybody do that? Let's give it to the youth. What do they do anyway? Wednesday night dinner, run around, make noise. Let's get them serving tables. All right? Or, let's just anybody. Who will volunteer? Oh, you know, well, who? You're not doing anything on Wednesday night. You. No. They said, you know, let's start out. This is how you enlist help. But, look, first of all, they started. There has to be, in any help, in any job in the church, it takes common ground. You have to start out on common ground. You see, because what we do here at the church, whether it's vacuuming the floor in the sanctuary, or whether it's teaching Sunday school, or preaching a message from the pulpit, whatever we do to the glory of God. I could get anybody to come in and vacuum the sanctuary. But I want somebody who's going to vacuum the sanctuary to the glory of God. Do you understand? So they say, okay, we want you to enlist people, but we want you to enlist people, number one, with a good reputation. Okay? Somebody who who would be great at serving tables? It would, you know who I'm thinking of? And they start thinking of people. See, they say, they would be awesome. They have a good reputation of being peacemakers. You know, they don't want the person serving these Greek widows who goes, here you, Greek widow. There you go. There's your meal. Welcome. All right? Whoa, you don't want that guy serving tables. Okay? Right? There's some people, no, not a good waitress or waiter. Okay? No, you need somebody with a good reputation. And not only that, but you need somebody who's full of the Spirit. That means you need somebody who's doing it for the glory of God. Somebody who's saying, hey, I'll serve tables, I'll vacuum the sanctuary, I'll take care of babies in the nursery, I'll do whatever I do, and whatever I do, I'm going to do it to the glory of God because I'm just excited to be here. And I want to be a part of it. And I'm going to do it to the glory of God. I'm not going to do it because I have to. You know, I can get people to shovel the sidewalks out there when it snows because they have to. Because they can't say no. But I want somebody who's out there shoveling to the glory of God. Okay? Somebody who's full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. And now, that means, what does that mean? That they got to be really smart? No, that's not what wisdom means. It means that they have an understanding of that God is all a part of this. And that God does things differently. And that God is, that everything, whether it's serving tables, this is God serving tables. This is how God ministers. He ministers in Wednesday night suppers. He ministers in a children's music program. God is gotten all these programs together. And in His wisdom, He's bringing people closer to Him. That's what these people know that. So that's the common ground. So you don't want just anybody volunteering, and you don't want to just put people, because we put people in jobs they shouldn't be doing in the church, just because they're not wired to do it. But what's the common ground? And then secondly, of course, if there's common ground, then we also have to recognize that there's differences. That's different gifts. Everybody's different. You know, I can paint lines on the parking lot, but you may not be able to see where to park when I'm finished. All right? There's certain things that I can do well, and there's certain things that I can't do well. Same with you as well. What is it that you do well? What is it that we do well? We're all different. God made us so that we complement each other. Again, let me emphasize, you're created for a purpose, and it's not the same as mine, and it's not the same as the person sitting next to you. But it will blend together to make a wonderful church family. Okay? So, the last thing then, in the kingdom principles of problem solving, you get a right perspective. This is not a problem. This is a challenge that God has given us. Well, I can't do it all. You can't do it. So we get help. We get everybody involved. Recognize that we have a common purpose, which is building the kingdom of God. In our staff, we call it KW. We're all about the KW. We talk about it every staff meeting. We talk about it every time we come to work. We talk about it when you go in each other's office. We're about KW, kingdom work. And we unapologetically, everything we do here is about doing it kingdom. So we have a common vision, but we recognize that we're different. And then lastly, we do what you're best at. What are you wired to do? That's what you need to do. Now, it takes a church. It takes a church to make this happen, doesn't it? That's what Jesus started. He started the church. Wait a minute, he started in Acts chapter 2, now he's changing it already? Guess what? Yes! And we don't want to be the same church as we were in 2010. God has a plan for us to be a different, better, more dynamic church in 2011 than we were in 2010. If you want it to be the same as then, you're already in the wrong church. Okay, we want to go where God wants us to go. We want to begin again, and it takes a church. Now, look at what happened. The disciples said, okay, they drew everybody together, and they said, what? Choose some people who will serve. So the first thing that happened is they had a calling out to serve. Now, I think if we practice this, this is really a lost jewel in the crown of churches these days, because we're so afraid that we're going to offend you, But you know what they did? When they had a problem, they said, you know what, Brittany? You do choir, aren't you? Don't you do choir? You're musical. And you know what? We need somebody to serve in the music. Hey, everybody. Brittany is musical. She ought to serve in the music. And let's welcome her into the new music ministry at Parkway. come on down. And we bring her down and we pray for her because you know what? That's what people do. Now, don't get nervous. We're not going to do that. But I'll tell you what, we will unashamedly talk to you, and maybe I already have talked to you. What is it that God has for you to do here? Because God designed us to work together for His kingdom. Now, that is something we do at Parkwood, and we do it out loud. You've heard me talk about it many times. We're not just here to bring people to Jesus. We are. But we are here to help, once they know Jesus, to help them find their calling, where they can be a part of the kingdom work. It's not enough just to start with Jesus. You have to keep beginning again and find out what your purpose is in KW, kingdom work. So we got to call out. So they had a calling out. They said, hey, let's pick these guys. They have good reputation, they're full of wisdom, and they're full of the Holy Spirit. Let's bring them in. And then what did they do next? They presented them for affirmation. They brought them forward. They said, hey, people, what do you think? Here's the guys we picked. And everybody went, yeah. That's affirmation. Yeah. Now, I want to just, here's an aside note. Every one of these people have a Greek name. Think about that. Who had the problem? The Greek widows? Who better to minister to them than those who are in leadership who are Greek? You know, sometimes we would say, well, let's get some of those Hebrew Jews in there and we'll just show them, you know, make them grow and make them do something they don't want to do and they can help those folks. You know, then you got the guy who's throwing the food down at them. No, let's get somebody who'd be good at it, who's gifted at it. Somebody who knows those Greek Jews and knows what they're going through and can help them. Hey, that's who I would pick. Yeah, affirmation. They presented him for affirmation. Then the third thing they did is they prayed for him. It says they gathered him together and they prayed for him. You know, sometimes, have you ever been in somebody's house and... you know, I know all of you pray before your meals and say grace before your meals. It's just regular routine for you. And you go to somebody's house who doesn't, and so you gather around the table. They say, now it's time to eat, and you gather around the table, and everybody's gathered around, and you bow your head. And the next thing you know, you hear silverware and plates, and they're just going around the table because they don't say grace. And all of a sudden, you feel really weird. Well, you know what? Churches do that. When we ask people to serve and we find people that we think are great at doing something, then we set them about doing it and we don't pray for them. The church in Acts chapter 6, they would have never thought about it. And, you know, can you imagine bringing these guys down front, having an affirmation, then praying for them, and then commissioning them? Because it says they laid hands on them and they commissioned them. I mean, I think I would have been saying up there if I was Stephen or Philip, one of these guys that was chosen, going, you know, it's just serving tables. You're making a kind of a big deal out of it. You know what? Every little detail in the church is a big deal to God. And we should be praying and commissioning everybody from the person who shovels the walks when it snows to the person who's making coffee for you to have coffee in between the services, to the person who is taking care of the babies in the nursery. We need to commission every person and realize that everything, whether it's cleaning up paper or putting new welcome cards in the pew racks or fixing something that's broken, changing a light bulb, we need to commission those folks, pray for those folks, affirm those folks, because it takes everybody. It takes a church, doesn't it? All right, Ken. Ken changes light bulbs. Bless you, bless you, bless you. He's the only reason you can see today. So, what are the results? Now, fast forward with me to the end. Verse 1, the church is increasing. Yay! It's a great beginning. It's great. The church is increasing. problem. Verse 7.
They solve the problem with kingdom principles, and what happens in verse 7?
So the word of God spread. Hey, the word of God spread. Not only that, look what happened second. The number of disciples increased greatly. And look at what happened third. The priests became obedient.
Oh, I love it when the preachers start getting saved.
I love it. Man, that's a sign God is moving. But I want you to know here today that everybody needs to begin again. Everybody needs to grow. Everybody needs to change. Everybody needs to mature with God, from the preacher to the nursery worker to the person who's vacuuming the floors. Everybody needs to grow. And when people start growing, the church increases, God's word begins to spread. It's a fresh beginning. What is not acknowledged by a lot of churches who say, we want to get back to the Acts chapter 2 church, is that in Acts chapter 6, they begin again. They begin again. And everybody adjusts. Even the church of Acts chapter 2 doesn't want to go back to Acts chapter 2. People weren't getting their needs met. Church wasn't functioning well. Acts chapter 6, let's get back on track. Kingdom problem solving. We go from verse 1 to verse 7. I want you to know today that today in Parkwood Baptist Church, we need to get from verse 1 to verse 7. That's going to happen here in 2011. Ooh, chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 7 in 2011. I like it. Somebody print that. Okay, we need to do that. We are not going to be satisfied with being the same church in 2000 that we were in 2010. God has plans for us. We got a parking problem. We got a problem because we don't have enough Sunday school teachers because we have so many people wanting to be a part of Bible study. Oh no, what are we going to do? Let's go home and whine about it. No, let's do something about it. Let's gather together, find the people, say, hey, let's call people out. Who can do that? Are you gifted at taking care of children? Do you love being around? We have needs in the nursery. We have so many babies that we don't know what to do with. Oh, what a bummer. We need to go to another church. What? No, let's solve this problem. Let's begin again. Let's begin again. We need more nursery workers. Let's pray. We gather together. Oh, look, here we are. We're gathered together, January 2nd. What are we going to do? We got a parking problem. We got a nursery workers problem. We don't have enough Sunday school classes for everybody to have a Sunday school class. Everybody goes, no, this is good. You have to go through verses 2 through 6 to go from 1 to 7. And it's good. Can we do that? Beginning again at Parkwood. How do we do that? First of all, acknowledge we're going to have some growing pains. We're going to have growing pains, folks. We're going to have growing pains. We already are having growing pains. If God is going to continue to bless, and I think most of you at least want God to continue to bless us, which means we're going to continue to grow. And we're no longer a church of 200 people. We're a church of more than 400 people. We're no longer a church that can minister the same ways that we ministered 3 or 4 years ago. We have to do it a little differently. Are we ready? Do we want to? Do we want to begin again? Or do we want to go back? Because we know we can do 200. That would be a lot easier. Let's just go back. No. God's continuing to bless. Let's continue to go with Him. So we're going to have growing pains. The second thing is we got to remain focused. Kingdom work. That's what we're about. Everything that we do, whether it's singing in the choir, whether it's playing the piano, no matter what you're doing here at this place, it is for the glory of God and for kingdom work. The KW. If you're doing it for that, then we're not on the same page. Everything that we do. The bulletins are put together. They're prayed over. They're printed. They're folded. They're stuffed by people who are doing it for the kingdom of God. Stay focused. Then we need to celebrate our limits and our differences.
that we need to celebrate the fact that you can't do everything. We need to celebrate the fact that we're different from each other instead of having people leave. And you know, when I say celebrate our limitations, that means you've got to be able to say, you know, I could do that, but I need to let somebody else do it. Because, you know, we have a lot of go-getters here at Parkwood, and I love you. You're go-getters. You'd be out there shoveling snow. You'd be in here serving communion. You'd be out doing some other things. I get it. You guys are awesome. But, you know, it's not for everybody, not for some people just to do everything. We're all supposed to be involved. So we need to do what we do best. What is it that you do best? And that's what we have to focus. We have to focus on working together with our differences. Together with our differences. Now, we're going to do something a little different this morning because, and I think it's exciting, which is how many times have you been listening to a message and you think, wow, there's some good points there, or yeah, that's practical, and then you had an opportunity right then and there to practice it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it today. And it just so happens that it works out perfectly with what we're doing here on the first Sunday of the new year. So if you take out this sheet of paper, the cream-colored sheet of paper that was in your bulletin, and on it you'll see one side will have a list of our 2011 deacons, which is what those men were called that were called to serve tables. The deacon ministry at Parkwood Baptist Church is a ministry of caregiving, all right? When you go from 200 people to 400 families, sometimes not everybody. Some people can fall through the cracks, kind of like the Grecian widows. And people say, wow, I had this problem, and nobody. So we have deacons that can give caregiving, and they multiply the caregiving within our congregation so that we can continue to be a caring place who prays for you, who ministers to you in your every need. That's what the deacons do. So if we go by what we just learned, we're growing. The deacon body is growing. This doesn't represent all of them. Some of them were in the earlier service. Some of them are teaching. Some of them are on vacation. But all those who are here today are up here before you. And we need to say, you know what? They're being called out. They've been affirmed by you already. Now we need to pray for them. And we need to commission them to do the caregiving in our church for this year. So that's what we're going to do. And so we're going to speak loudly. So, and we're going to start with Vicki Plunkett, who's our outgoing deacon chair. Thank you, Vicki. Now we're going to be practical and do just what those disciples did in Acts chapter 6, and that is, if you look at the other side, on the opposite side of the list is a vow. It's a vow, a commitment that the deacons are making to you, okay, and to God, and then there's a place for you to make a commitment as well to these deacons, because remember, it's a group effort. And so we're going to do that today. So if you'll follow along as we do this responsive reading, we are going to, the deacons will first start, and then you'll start as well. So just follow along as we do this. And we have heard from the scripture that a deacon is called to serve. The church set apart those by the laying on of hands. This congregation will set you apart today. Are you willing to accept this call?
We are willing.
Will you faithfully perform your duties as a deacon of Parkwood Baptist Church, and will you commit to serve this congregation as unto the Lord? Now, congregation, as a church family, will you commit to pray for these deacons and encourage them in their service in the Lord?
We will.
Do you, as a congregation, stand united in appointing these as deacons, and do you stand ready to help them when it is needed, forgive when mistakes are made,
and love them as Christ commanded?
We do.
Amen for that. There is a new, this board of deacons here is this, all of them represent deacons that have served for even last year in 2010, with the addition of Doris, who comes on as a new addition, coming back onto the deacon body to help us serve. So she's the new member. But otherwise, these are folks that are, but we don't want them to serve as they did in 2010. We want them to step up, have a new beginning, right? To begin again. And so as we do that, we are going to be praying for them. And I'm going to ask Jim, our new deacon chairman, to offer a prayer of blessing. And I'd like you to join with us as we bless the deacons. Okay, thank you, deacons. Now, was that cool? I mean, look, we read about it, we thought about it, we did it. Now, that is really the way it should work. But we're not finished. There's one more. We were a part of a commissioning there. That was awesome. But like I said, we all are also called to be a part of what God is doing here. You know, we don't believe here at Parkwood that church is a spectator sport. You know, that becomes hard in a world of TV where you can just turn on church, turn it off or turn the volume down, or go for a commercial. It's not easy when they have big Coliseum churches where people can just go, they sit in their seat, they see the show, and then they leave. That's not what we do here, because that's not church. Church is being involved with each other. Part of being a part of church is serving. So maybe you're saying, well, what is it that I can do? What is it that I can? I don't know. But I want you to hear this, that God created you for a purpose, for a reason, to be a part of his kingdom work. Not just to save you and take you to heaven. That's pretty great. But he created you to be a part of a community of believers, to be a part of kingdom work that makes a difference for eternity. You are created that way. We want to provide you that opportunity. So, what is it? Maybe God is saying something. I'll tell you what, you can call the church office anytime, starting today. There may not be somebody there to answer the phone, but you can leave a message. I need to talk to somebody in the children's area because I feel called. I think I could work with kids. I feel that I could be a part of that team that needs to shovel snow on a Sunday morning. I can't do a lot, but I like to shovel snow. Maybe you could be somebody who helps beautify the grounds. Maybe you could be somebody who picks up in the sanctuary after everybody leaves. You think that happens automatic? Maybe you could be somebody who could change a light bulb or fix a door. Or maybe you could be somebody who teaches a Sunday school class. I don't know, but boy, the phones ought to be ringing off the hook this week as you think about 2011 and a great new beginning again. Because a great beginning begins again and again and again. So maybe God's speaking to you on that, Mark. I challenge you right now, before you leave this place, to write down on that blue sheet or whatever you've got to write on and write yourself a note. I need to call and do this, or I need to pray about what God wants me to do here. Just write yourself a note, because you won't if you forget by the time you get through with dinner today. So maybe that's what God is speaking to your heart about today. Awesome. Maybe today in 2011 you're saying, I need to renew my relationship with God. I need to get it right with him, and I'm going to start today. You can do that right where you stand. Take a moment, pray, get yourself right with God. The promise is you're right with him as soon as you do that. Maybe you want to give your life to Christ. You've never done it. You can do that today. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're saying, you know, 2011, I want to be in. I want to be on board. I want to be 100% invested. So I want to join this church. I want this to be my official church family. I don't want to just be a visitor on the peripheral anymore. I want to make this my home. Awesome. What a great Sunday to join the church. January 2nd? Hello. Easy to remember. 2011 is yours. We open our doors to you. You can just come down. Let us know the desire of your heart, and you're here. We need all the help we can get because we're all about doing kingdom work and giving people the opportunity not only to know Jesus, but to know themselves in Jesus, to know who you are and what you're wired to do. Life is not meaningless. God has a purpose for you.